Here, the old gods are dead.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hiya.
Liam, you want to tell everyone the next part of your saga of bad luck?
Oh, okay. So last time I got evicted, and you'll be happy to know that this time I've still not found a flat and I have COVID now. So like, I was like testing, like, so I, like 2 weeks ago, I had had a sore throat, a cough and all that jazz. Got a PCR test, came back negative. I was like, okay, I just have a cold. The cold started to get better, and then it started to get worse again, but I didn't have a cough anymore, and I didn't have a fever anymore, so I was like, okay, I'm fine. Took lateral flow tests, it was fine. And then on the Friday, Friday morning just passed, I woke up and I went, oh shit, I can't smell anything. And then I got another PCR test, and it was like, oh, you have COVID. And I was like, fuck, how long have I had this for? Because I thought I just had a cold, and I've just been like, seeing every person that I've ever seen in my life. oopsie, my bad. So now I'm like locked inside. So that's fun for me. And like all I've been doing is like watching films. And I've got to say, I watched The Hills Have Eyes for the first time last night. And it's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it years ago. That's research for this episode. Everybody go do their homework and watching The Hills Have Eyes.
No, but it was so good. And I'm so glad that the pretty people won in the end. Like, spoiler, sorry. Also, there is a dog death in the film. So don't watch it if you don't want to see that. Sorry.
No, it won't appear that, Liam, but I'm hungover, so this episode's gonna be, it's not gonna be tragic, but like I'm on the ropes. I hit my three pint limit last night at a pub quiz, and then woke up this morning like feeling like dead. It was a Halloween pub quiz and I was dressed as Bella Swan and the rest of my team were dressed as other characters for Twilight, and we got extra points for that, so.
And we won. Really good.
Yeah. I actually might put that up on the Instagram.
Free clout.
Free clout. Yeah. I'll just replace my pals' faces with the actual members of Twilight. Because they want to dox them.
Oh, true. Valid.
So as you might have guessed by the title and by what we're talking about, we're going to be talking about Swanee Bean today, who was actually the inspiration for Wes Craven's The Hills Have Eyes. So actually, with the Swanee Bean, we likely wouldn't have Scream. Just thinking about that, because Wes Craven did Scream, right?
Oh my God, I thought
about that when I was in the shower this morning.
It's kind of like how 9/11 got Ellen cancelled.
And how 9/11 created Twilight.
Yeah.
Swanee Bean.
Yeah. Oh,
launched Scream. And therefore, the scary movie films.
And therefore, this podcast, because we wouldn't know each other if we didn't both like...
Yeah, no, it's true.
No, it's true, it's true.
True. No, it's very true. let's get into it. So, like, mace horror film villains, they find their inspiration in real-life horrors, like how Buffalo Bill and Norman Bates take many of their characteristics for the grave robber and DIY genius Ed Gein. So Swanee Bean ended up becoming the inspiration for a multitude of dysfunctional families in classic horror. The Hills Have Eyes, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Wrong Turn, I believe, also.
What one's that? I've not seen that one.
It's kind of like The Hills Have Eyes. It's like mutant, inbred family murder, pretty people. Genuinely, like scene for scene.
The same thing over and over. I love it.
So, Sonny Bean was born in East Lothian. All legends, their dates are like rather vague. Most versions put his birth around the reign of James VI in Scotland. So, early 1500s to mid 1500s. I just think that Sonny Bean and James were born on the exact same day, because that's the only way that this story could be even possibly plausible. He was the son of a hedger and ditcher, which is exactly what it sounds like. His dad dug ditches and like built hedges to like divide up land. And then Sonny became a tanner by trade. However, hard work was no for him. I feel that.
I can relate. Wait, are we gonna give Sonny Bean a creepy podcast pardon? Like, I really.
Maybe he was well within.
He was well within wrong. His right. They wanted to be eaten.
So he eventually decided on giving up making an honest living, and he fled from East Lothian to Galloway in Ayrshire with his new bride, Agnes. She's often referred to as Black Agnes, and
literally Agnes Sampson, the sequel. Is everyone in Scotland?
Well, there's another Agnes that's going to come up in the story, which makes me think the creativity was no flowing. But Agnes was thought to be a witch, or she's reputed to be a witch in like multiple sources. They couldn't back that up, though. No evidence there. I genuinely just think she was a cannibal and a murderer. I don't think we need to go. We do need to take it a step further and say that she was a witch.
Yeah, you don't need to do anything else. That's bad enough. But
so they set up home in a cave called Benin Cave in Ayrshire. The cave was a perfect hideout, with tunnels penetrating from the solid rock and extending for more than a mile in length. Twice a day, high tide would flood the cave's entrance for several hundred metres and making it almost impenetrable. So for this subterranean lair, Sonny Bean hatched his plans for his family's future. With girl bossing out of the question, Bean began to ambush and rob passing travellers and locals. You can look at diagrams of what people say the cave looked like, and it looks like there might be like a like way for them to crawl out of the back of the tunnel and then like appear on land above where the cliff.
Like above. The Hills Have Eyes. Oh my god,
that is what people say. They would appear on land and they would be able, and it was like near the road that passed the coast, so they would ambush travellers. He started off robbing. He was basically a highwayman, but to make sure he wasn't caught, he always killed his victims. Through his murdering, Bean solved another dilemma, which was feeding his family, because Agnes and Sonny's family, most likely through incest, had multiplied to upwards of 40 members. With so many mouths to feed, Bean began to dismember the people that he had murdered and then eat them. The family's victims were often ambushed in huge numbers with an almost military-style attack, and they would often surround them, like, so it would mainly be the men that handled, like, bigger guys, and then the women, like, tackled, like, women and children. So they would, like, swarm them. Because normally it was, like, huge parties that were passing through this way. It was, like, people moving from town to town, like, traders and stuff. So they'd swarm them. And they would either tear them apart using their hands, or they would like collect swords and guns and stuff for like people who they had already killed. Apparently, they could take up to 6 people at a time, though, and then drag them into the cave to be butchered. So, like, it is like a real life horror film. Like, any victims that couldn't be eaten would be preserved through pickling, I assume using barrels and seawater.
Oh, that's kind of a lost art. We need to pickle more.
Sonny Bean making TikToks. This is like, can I pickle?
Have you seen that girl on TikTok? And she's like, welcome to this week's episode of Scrappy Cooking. Bury that bite.
Oh, like zero waste. Well, they would like hang up body parts. Like, apparently they would like nail them like on his spikes into the solid rock. And then they would be hung up to basically dry and cure. Kind of like salami or something like that.
I was thinking Game of Thrones, but okay.
It took us 10 minutes to reference Game of Thrones.
I'm telling you, all of Game of Thrones is based on Scotland. It's just a fact at this point.
Soon, various body parts began, because when they were like done eating, they would just throw bones into the sea, or like any parts that were like, because at this point in history, like, a lot of people had like gout and gangrene and stuff, so like any like limbs that weren't going to be eaten, they would like throw into the sea. Like they would just wash up like on the nearest beach, and folk would be like, what could this possibly be? And then
I'm stumped about what this is.
So body parts were washing up, and then the number of people gone missing to Galloway was rapidly rising and causing suspicions to rise. So many who had gone missing had last been seen at local inns before they had like left to go like on this country road. Suspicions naturally fell on several innocent innkeepers who were actually eventually accused and found guilty and then hung. we're being like quite rude and crude about this, but like, it's not real.
No, that's such a shame. No. I'll go off on that, but you continue.
The tide eventually turns on the Beans when they attacked a couple who were travelling on horseback for a local fair. A gang of the family's women dragged the poor unfortunate wife for her horse, where she was stripped and then disemboweled in front of her husband, who desperately fought off his attackers. He then witnessed the same women begin to devour his wife. Like, I think they really just like went in for like that raw food kind of vibe.
They said, let's go salmonella. Hop off. What the... okay.
So, fully survivor girl adrenaline, the husband makes an escape, and then he rides his horse directly through the gang, just as a group of 20 people who were also returning for that same fair like stumbled into this mess. Sonny, realizing that even his gang were outnumbered, fled back to the cave, this time leaving evidence in form of a mutilated corpse in the middle of the road. The traumatized husband was swiftly taken to see the chief magistrate of Glasgow, who reported the crime to the king himself. Now, James VI, who loved to be involved, we mentioned him in our last episode. So he rides all the way to Edinburgh, apparently, with a big, huge gang, hounds and his men to try and find Sonny Bean, basically. He's obsessed with the macabre, he's obsessed with witchcraft and stuff. So as soon as he hears about this, he boosts and he goes to Ayrshire. Despite the best efforts of the king's men, no sign of Bean's lair was discovered until the dogs picked up a really bad scent of death coming through the cave's entrance and a scent of blood. And then it pulled the king's men into like the mouth of this cave. The troops entered the cave to see the walls that were covered in human body parts, that were the ones that were hung up to dry, and then around the cave there was piles of clothing, jewellery, weapons, all the rest of it. Like a really big cache of stuff in this huge cave. And then obviously there was piles of
this miles long cave. Mm-hmm.
There was piles of discarded bones and stuff as well. So taking in this sight, the king's men were immediately like horrified, and then that turned into anger, and they like paraded into the, like further into the cave. The Beans struggled to escape, but they were vastly outnumbered, and around 40 of the clan were arrested. 48, like even if this cave, anyway, we'll get into it.
That's a whole, like, flat block of a cave. Aye. Like, okay.
So some of the king's men stayed behind and gathered up what human remains they could find and then buried them in the sands. The rest accompanied the wretched Bean clan to Edinburgh. So they took them all the way from Ayrshire to Edinburgh, like across the country, and then took them to the toll booth. Mm-hmm. They took them to the famous Edinburgh toll booth, where they were no doubt tortured.
Oh my God, I've heard of that before.
I don't know where I've heard of that before, but it seems familiar.
Must have been a good story.
The crimes were so severe and the guilt was so clear that they were offered no trial. The very next day they were taken to Leith. I believe it was to the Watery Leith, where they had built a
gallows.
Yeah, like they had built like a special set of gallows specifically to get through all these people. But the guys, before they were hung, their genitals were removed and thrown into a fire. They were getting ready for the girlies, so kind of, they threw their I believe they disemboweled them as well. limbs were cut off. They were drawn and...
Why do you need to hang them?
They were hung, drawn, and quartered. And then...
Is that what that means?
Yeah, so hung...
Like quartered is like cut up?
Yeah, cut into four pieces, yeah.
Shut up.
It's pretty shit. It happened to William Wallace. William Wallace's death's horrible.
And real.
We'll cover it. I went on a tour when I was in London, and it was Tower Bridge, I think. It was kind of like Tower Bridge Dungeons, kind of like Edinburgh Dungeons, but they were like talking about all the famous heads that used to be put on spikes on the Tower Bridge, and they were like, and William Wallace was famously, and like all the English people in the room were like, and I was like,
and then you threw hands.
I was literally like, oh, shut up.
Guys, that isn't funny, actually.
I'm actually quite offended. But the men were hung, drawn, and quartered. I believe that Bean, he was like getting a really particularly slow and severe punishment where his limbs were cut off, like one by one. And then apparently he screamed, this is not over, it'll never be over, before he was like finally killed.
Oh my god, melodramatic king. Balenciaga!
That's what I thought. And then the women and the grandchildren of the clan, and I'm assuming that some of these people are like actual babies, were forced to witness this whole spectacle while they screamed in horror. Three huge bonfires were built, and the remaining 21 women and children were burned like witches. Brilliant. So this infamous crime, which may or may not have taken place at all, did capture the attention of a young and upcoming filmmaker back in the 1970s. This story was, as we've said, the basis behind the first horror film for Wes Craven, The Hills Have Eyes, and then obviously went on to inspire loads of other stuff. But aye, that is the legend of Sonny Bean. After a break, Liam's going to dispel this, because as much as it sounds really cool and gnarly and bloody, and it could be potentially true in Scotland's history because we've done a lot of other fucked up shit, but this is a bit far-fetched. So we'll take a wee break and then Liam will come back and dispel some of these myths.
Okay, now that we're back, I'd just like to say we didn't talk enough about The Hills Have Eyes. Like, I'm still thinking about it. Like, it's really good. Like, everyone at home, please watch The Hills Have Eyes. It's a bit much. If you're a bit squeamish, maybe don't. But it is, like, genuinely very similar to that story, except a bunch of Americans kill the cave people instead of them being brought to, like, a court to be killed. But that was fun. It is a fun story. But a story, I must say, I think it is. Right, let's just get into it. You already addressed the fact that this was around the time of King James VI, or the First of England, if you're of that persuasion. But that man was a drama queen. Like we discussed last time, he thought he took everything as a personal attack. He was like, how do I make this about me? Like, he was in like a boating accident and he was like, witches, it was witches. My boat had a little bit of a funny turn. There are women out there trying to get me as we speak. So if there was a clan of cannibals living in Scotland, that man would not have hesitated to write about it in his little diary. Published.
There's no official source whatsoever, because James, like, when he did Demonology, his book about witchcraft, like, it initially came out in a series of papers that were published in the actual paper. So I fear that if James was involved in this, he would have been right there at the press telling everybody about it.
They tried to eat me. Like,
also, why, like, James would not have took them for Ayrshire, considering what they'd done for Ayrshire all the way to Edinburgh to make them stand trial. Like, they would have just killed them then and there. Like, you would not walk into that cave and then, like, give them a chance. Like, there's no way. The Scottish history does not work like that.
No, it was kill or be killed, girly. Like, they would have been dead on sight. And even if they were taken somewhere else, there's, like, I'm pretty sure there were, like, execution sites at Ayr, Irvine, and in Glasgow, which are all closer to Ayrshire than the Tolbooth.
I was watching some YouTube videos, because basically, this story all comes from one source, so, like, the tale that I've just repeated has been told, like, 100 times, but there was, like, somebody, an American person, was, like, and they were taken from Ayrshire to the nearby city of Edinburgh, and I was, like, cunt, you couldn't have just looked at a map? He also called he called East Lothian East Lothian, and I was, like, alright, bro, you need to lay off the Lord of the Rings, like, I was, like, that is quite a trick. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even like, because I'm relatively close to Edinburgh, you wouldn't even catch me driving to Ayr. Never mind going on horseback. Aye, with 48 people. Bullshit. Anyway, that got me fuming.
Oh yeah, I never even thought about the logistics of how many people it was to travel any distance. Like maybe
a few of them would have died as well. Like bear in mind that they've been stuck in this cave their entire lives, are suddenly in sunlight, and then are like deprived of their only source of like nutrients. They've like a couple of like the kids definitely would have died, and older members of the family, aka Sonny Bean, because at this point he's like what, 60? Nah. Nah. Anyway, keep going, Liam. That's human.
Oh yeah, well, so speaking of Sonny, his name first of all as well is something that would make you speculate a little bit. Maybe this is just like a little English slander piece, perhaps, because although Sonny was, I guess, a common name in Scotland around this time, it's like a diminutive of Alexander. It's Sandy, Sonny. It's like the same thing. But basically, English people used to like use it as a derogatory term for like all Scottish men. Like it's what Jock is now. Like they might as well have called him like Jock and Piss Pig or something. Like that's basically the name they gave him. Again, if they were taken to the toll booths, like on the slim possibility that this was the case, there would be a record of it. Like you can access toll booth records still. Like there's like little books of like infamous like inmates.
Yeah, on the Wikipedia for the toll booth, it's like potentially Swanee Bean was held here because he's maybe not real.
Yeah, and there's no record written down of it, which even in those times they had that. They did, I swear. But like at this time, you know how we were talking about how the toll booth got dismantled and stuff? Like it was on a continual scale of downsizing throughout its existence, basically. And at this time, it was probably about like one or two towers big. Like it wasn't at its maximum capacity. So even if they had got the whole family there, how are you going to fit 48 people in like a tiny little cramp? I mean they probably would have tried to do it, but I just don't think volume wise it was actually possible. So again, I do think this is an English slander piece on Scotland.
Aye, it is likely that this is an English slander piece, because I think the first place that this story comes up is in it's a Penny Dreadful magazine, I think, in the 1800s. The tale of Swanee Bean comes up. Sorry, I keep saying Swanee Bean. That's because when I was younger, I mispronounced it and it just stuck in my head like this. Swanee Bean came up for the first time in like English literature and English newspapers as like a short story. It was kind of at the time where English people were obsessed with like the Scottish Highlands and like tales of Scottish folklore and stuff. So I think it was like a female author wrote this story, and she used like pieces of folklore and stuff and then came up with this tale like this, and then after time it just grew arms and legs.
That's the thing, even if there were like actual, like even if this wasn't a real story, there were actually at some points cannibal activity in Scotland. Like that is a thing that happened, and it's the thing that happens across the globe, especially in times of like famine and stuff. It's usually more extreme. So there's actually a more, it's still sort of folklorish, like Sonny Bean is, but it's about a man called Christy Cleek. Okay, so Christy Cleek is another more folklorish sort of take on it, as I said, and he was first mentioned in the Chronicle of Scotland in the 15th century, around the 1430s. And the story goes that he was up in the Grampian foothills in sort of like the southernmost part of the Scottish Highlands. And he was there with a group of other men during the famine. And one of the like cohort died of starvation. And then instead of like burying or burning the body, Christy being a butcher, he basically diced and sliced this man into like a sushi like spring roll and then fed all the dolls. And then this is where it sort of like gets a bit sort of, the story goes in two sort of directions. So maybe it is folklore. So there's one train of thought that him and the other men all picked up a taste for human flesh after this. And then they would go to like nearby like groups of people that were like set up camping or whatever. And they just like take them and eat them. And then just continue to do that until they were caught by like the authorities of Perth. And only Christy escaped and changed his name and ran away So it feels kind of like it was something maybe made up again by old ladies to scare their kids into not getting up in the middle of the night. But then, like, there's the other train of thought that it was just Christy doing this, and he used to, like, set traps for women and children, because obviously they were, like, smaller, I guess, than men, but it was easier to, like, capture them, and then he would eat them, like, alone. Again, he escaped from authorities and changed his name. I do believe that it is very possible that a man like this did exist, and he did kill someone during the famine, well, or just ate someone who died during the famine, but maybe not to the extent that, like, this story and Sonny Bean go to, that they, like, they developed a taste for human flesh and then just started eating everyone, and they didn't make, like, a mutant incest clan. That seems a bit far-fetched, you know?
Yeah, it just seems like, even when it's, like, appeared in, like, this woman who's, like, wrote the story is Sonny Bean, like, she's seen a story like this and then just exaggerated it. It was in a horror, like, magazine or something, like, the newspaper. Like, I didn't think it's... A lot of people do say that it's, like, Auntie Scott's slander. I think it is actually just somebody trying to tell, like, a creepy story about, like... Because the Scottish Highlands at this point in time were exotic to people, even in Edinburgh. Even to people in Edinburgh, and then especially to people, like, down south, like, got obsessed. Like, even Alistair Crowley, past podcast topic. When he moved to Bleskin, he would, like, go to parties and stuff, like, in full Highland dress. And he did that even before he got the property. He would, like, go to, like, the Golden Dawn meetings in, like, full... But, like, it's kind of like a caricature Highland dress that you would find in, like, Edinburgh or in salons in London, rather than, like, what traditional Highland dress really is. Kenny would have, like, a huge feather, like, sticking in his hat and stuff. Like, people were obsessed with these kind of, like, creepy Scottish stories, so I can see how this would actually happen. Like, somebody hears, like, a story survival, and then is like, how can we make this more interesting? And then it becomes this.
Yeah.
I can see how that would happen. I just want to say, when I was researching this, obviously the first part that you hear is, like, the cave was, like, a mile long, and there was all these intricate tunnels, which is, like, what they love. Like, I think that kind of thing, like, comes with, like, the obsession of, like, Scottish sea caves because of
Nessie.
Loch Ness. Like, Loch Ness is full of, like, loads of intricate tunnels and stuff that, like, potentially a big sea creature could go and hide in. But this... cave, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to look up this banana cave or whatever on YouTube, and it was like these cavers went in, and it's like literally 200 yards deep. You can't, there is a small crawl space into, like, a bigger chamber, but there's no way that a grown man and 48 people would be able to squeeze through this tiny gap, because there was a woman there, like a small woman about my size, and she wasn't able to get through.
That's the thing as well, like, that, like, saying people lived in, like, these sea caves and stuff, like, the whole thing with the sea caves, the reason they have so many intricate tunnels is because the tide comes in and washes out the whole cave, and then, like, erodes further parts of the cave, so, like, they couldn't have lived down there, they would have drowned.
there is people in Fife used to, like, it's a hang in Fife where people used to be cave dwellers, and there's, like, places up north, I think it's at Wick, there's a cave called Tinker's Cave, and there was people who used to dwell in these caves, but these are, like, sea caves where the tide can no longer get in. So, like, they wouldn't be flooded out. This one, like, to this day, like, if you do want to go there, you have to go at low tide, because as soon as the tide's high, you can't get in the cave at all. There's nowhere to go. Like, it's not like, oh, the mouth becomes, like, you can't get in the mouth, but you can still, like, sit up at the back of the cave. That's not true. The whole of the cave gets flooded by the sea. But even that... aspect of, like, Scottish culture, like, I can see how that would be interesting to people. They'd be like, oh my god, these Scottish people, like, dwell in caves. And that's true. Scottish people did dwell in caves because they literally had nowhere else to go. And it's like a really rough lifestyle, but, like, these people would fish, and they were, like, expert fishers, and they were able to, like, take care of themselves. And it, like, wasn't, I mean, it was a really rough way of living, but they didn't need to resort to cannibalism and inbreeding in order to survive. I think this is, and I've seen a lot of that when I was researching this story, like, especially in Ayr, people would say that to their kids. They would be like, right, behave, or Shawnee Bean's going to come and eat you. Like, it's just, he's the Scottish boogeyman.
Everyone's the Scottish boogeyman, though. Like, Gorbals vampire.
Alistair Crowley. James.
No, that is the actual boogeyman. My melodramatic king. Love him. Wait, we should start like the James the Sixth extended universe.
This is the James the Sixth extended universe. I feel like every creepy topic that's in Scotland that's not like Nessie and stuff like that seems to have occurred around the time of James the Sixth because he was just so interested in all this stuff. So it really hyped it up. Adding James the Sixth into this story is just another way to make it more interesting because everybody kends him as the witch killing king, like the witch hunter king. That's, oh my God, have you ever heard that? I don't know if I should save this. James the Sixth never met Mary Queen of Scots. Really? Yeah. Like, she was in prison for his entire life. And he had basically in his adult life only seen her in paintings and portraits. And the night before she was due to be executed, James had a dream Mary's like disembodied head floating at the end of his bed, basically like foreboding.
No.
Like, just saying, like, really creepy shit, and he, like, was so shook by it.
So he was a witch?
Literally. And he'd never, like, properly met her before. Obviously, like, she gave birth to him, they had met, but, like, he had never known her. He knew her through letters. But aye, that's a fun fact about James. Other than that, like, the legend of Sonny Bean, we hate to dispel things on this podcast, like we do want the Ookie Spooky to be real.
Even though we do it a lot, but, like...
Aye, we do want the Ookie Spooky to be real, because me and Liam both are, like, in tune with these kind of, like, weird, ghosty things, and, like, we believe in a lot of stuff, but...
Drama... Baleskin House is, like, genuinely haunted, like, that's great. That's really the tea.
But we draw the line at this. Like, we draw the line at a cave being no big enough for, like, more than 5 people, and then saying that 50 people can fit in it. And also, there's, like, never been any evidence that this happened. Nobody's ever found a bone, like, a single bone near Brannan Cave. Like, it's just implausible, to be honest. And you will hear a lot of people say that it's, like, Annie Scott's slander, but I don't think so. Like, I think this comes for a genuine fascination in the bloody history of Scotland.
Yeah, this is definitely like horror movie before horror movies.
Like, yeah, like I can't criticize the woman who wrote this, because I'm sat here doing a podcast on the exact same shit that she was interested in.
Yeah, we're kind of hypocrites. So
like you will see a lot of that, like people saying that it's like Annie Scottish and it's not
me, like 20 minutes ago.
I genuinely believe that this woman was interested. Like, I've managed to talk myself into believing that just by having a conversation about it.
So as Halloween is approaching, I would just like to say that we have a couple posts like on our Twitter and our Instagram covering some of our favourite Scottish Halloween or Samhain traditions, just because we didn't cover anything really Halloween-y on the podcast this week. Just thought everyone might like to see that, so feel free to go on over to those. Beck, I'll tell you what they're called.
Yes, so our Twitter is at the Creepy Wee Pod, our Instagram is at the Creepy Wee Podcast, and then you can see blog posts about past episodes, sources and stuff on our website. I'm still slowly getting through writing blog posts for the last episode and then this one, but that should be done this week. If you hate any stories about what we've spoken about today or in past episodes, you can email us at thecreepywee podcast@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to either read out your email or just correspond with you via email.
Yeah, or suggestions for future episodes as well.
Yeah, we had like a really, really long list of episodes, but I put out like a question for people on Instagram saying like what they'd like to hear next, and we got like a lot of Kelpies, face.
Yeah, the Kelpies are coming.
That.
Please stop yelling at us.
Yeah, the Kelpies are coming. The Kelpies are coming, but they're like, that's like a treat. But if you've got like any like weird, we want ghosts. If there is a ghost in your local area that you're really interested in, or like a particular haunting, next episode we are really wanting to cover a haunting. Oh, yeah. So if you can,
we want
haunting,
something that we can fully believe in. Like, ghosts are real.
Oh, we can tell you some of your ghost stories. So if you've stayed
personal
this long...
ghost stories, too much.
If you've stayed this long and you can't get haunted, let us can and we'll cover it. But that's us. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.